In South Asia, the monsoons are the key to growing and irrigating crops and filling wells with drinking water. Some South Indian states like Kerala typically get strong monsoons. As much as 10 feet of rain usually falls there every year. But in the last decade, the monsoons have become erratic, and there have been some severe droughts, perhaps due to the changing climate and shifting wind patterns. This has led Kerala's government to declare water conservation a top goal. And as Living on Earth's Helen Palmer discovered on a visit, reports of the monsoon status can lead the local news.
The monsoon has finally reached mainland India with two consecutive days of rain in Kerala. But so far it's been a weak monsoon which missed its expected arrival date and arrived 5 days late amidst fear of drought-like conditions and an intense heat wave.
Weak, unreliable rains can be a disaster for farmers. But on his plantation in Thrissur, where I meet him and his family shortly before the monsoon arrives, Verghese Tharakan has dug trenches across his steep hillside plot to corral the water. Verghese is tall and broad, in a spotless white shirt and dhoti, the broad length of cotton cloth many Indians wear knotted round the waist. His petite wife Sandhya and children wear Western clothes, jeans for 10-year-old Varsha and 6-year-old Varun, and a grey sweater, black pants and big sunglasses for Sandhya. She points up the slope to rows of banana plants with broad glossy leaves, heavy with green fruit.
It's basically a drought-affected area, and even though in Kerala we get 3,070 millimeter rain, but here we get much lesser. As you can see, it's a slope kind of geographical pattern here. It has done cross-trenching method. And each and every drop of water which falls here is trapped and forced under the ground.
It's partly a very old technique to retain rainwater on this steep 3.5 acres. Now the slope is lush, with a tangle of grass and creepers among banana plants, and between each row, a trench about 2 feet deep. Every 4 or 5 feet along the trench, there's an earthen mound, effectively creating a series of individual water storage pools, though they're dry now, between the monsoons.
And you can see that we have a pond kind of thing here. During this season, like November, December, January and all, it is kind of winter and it is windy and all. So usually what happens is that all the water sources dries up. But you can see it is filled with water still. And we are not watering the plants with any kind of agriculture methods. All these bananas, they are standing here, they are giving fruits entirely on the rainwater he has harvested and stored under the earth.
We walk over to the pond. It's deep with near vertical earthen sides and a frog swimming in its murky green water. It's not only Tharakan's own bananas that benefit from this water retention. Rainwater management expert Jos Raphael has watched this farm's development closely. Jos is serious and intense, and like many professional men I met in Kerala, he has a bushy moustache. Holding back the water like this, he says, solves a problem for the community at the bottom of the hill as well.
30 farmers living in the downhill, they got 10 acres of land together. So these farmers, they had the water scarcity for irrigating and for the drinking and domestic water requirements. Then the government gave a tube well irrigating these 10 acres of land. It worked almost till 2012. So ultimately what happened that this tube well gone dried.
But then, Joe says, Verghese Tharakan took over the barren hill plantation above their fields and dug his transverse trenches that hold back the monsoon rains so they percolate slowly through the earth.
And this barren hill, he made it as a garden. Then the rainwater harvesting in these contour trenches helped the people in the downhills. Otherwise, this rainwater used to flow down and ultimately to reach the paddy fields and go to the sea, Arabian Sea.
We head down the hill to check out the wells of the village at the bottom. And there's water in their depths as well, and clothes drying on the washing lines by the brightly painted houses. From the village, Jos Raphael takes me to his home, a simple bungalow where he shows off rainwater conservation for the household. It's a system of gutters and PVC pipes that feed the well in his garden, with a motor to pump water up to his large blue rooftop tank. He says people all used to collect rainwater, much as people around the world do now in barrels for their gardens. But increasing development and urbanization made it obsolete.
Well, in the past history of India used to collect rainwater for the domestic uses. Then what happened that the shift took place in the 1915s, this modernization and pipe supply and dams and canal irrigation systems. When the people start to get the water in the homesteads with the piped water supply systems, the people tend to ignore their homestead wells. So the traditional wisdom of harvesting the rainwater within the homesteads, the people tend to forget.
And the neglect of the old ways, so now the rainwater just runs off to the sea, isn't the only water headache for local officials. Deforestation in the once thickly wooded mountainous Western Ghats has reduced the amount of water these Western highlands retain and increased erosion. But Jose Rafael works for a non-profit that got busy.
We got a project in Thrissur District Administration called Mara Polima, that means the bountiful rain. So we are trying to harvest this rainwater as well as we promote the homestead watershed approaches so that the rainwater in the homestead is conserved.
We visit one of his projects at a public government high school, where Jose Rafael, smartly dressed in a well-pressed green cotton shirt and grey slacks, is greeted warmly. His team supplied equipment to collect that bountiful rain for the school. Minnie Colat, a no-nonsense economics teacher in black with a striking geometrically patterned black and white scarf, explains.
The roof's water will be connected by the pipes and it will connect it to the wells to the filter, so that will increase the level of groundwater. Water is an elixir of life because there is no option to water.
Minnie Colat's students helped to put up the gutters and connect the pipes that funnel the water through charcoal filters into the huge well in the school courtyard. That well now supplies all the basic needs of the school. And 18-year-old Fabian, tall and gangly in his school uniform, check shirt and blue pants, tells me the pupils helped the community around the school as well.
That Mara Polima scheme was to reduce the scarcity of...
That Mara Polima scheme was to reduce scarcity of water in that area. In our area, there are a lot of poor people, so by connecting the pipes and by using the filter and the motor, etc., we can give water.
We can give water.
Fabian tells me the NGO supplied gutters and pipes, and the students helped set them up for their own parents, and on the roofs of many manual laborers who live around the school, who don't have the cash to buy their own system. Jose Rafael says he's proud of Mara Polima's success.
We have done more than 25,000 well recharging units in Kerala, and with this, the government subsidy that will help the people to help recharge their homestead wells. So it has become the role model across the state. So that's the success of this piloting in Thrissur district. That's what I'm happy about.
But if some townsfolk need a refresher course in traditional methods of managing water, those ways are still widely practiced in the countryside by farmers like Goresha at Wadikancheri village, a short drive from the high school down onto the low-lying coastal plain. The guard dogs greet us boisterously at Goresha's farm. He cultivates 6 acres of rice and coconuts organically on land his father and grandfather farmed before him. Beside the cowshed, with its dozen indigenous milk cows, Goresha points to a special breed of chicken pecking about in the farmyard.
We locally call it karingoli. It's completely black. See, everything is black. And even the meat is black.
Really?
Yeah.
Gosh, black
and
chicken.
And the bone, internal organs, even the blood.
Goresha tells me it's important to him to preserve these heritage breeds, the chickens as well as the cows. We cross the yard to the cowshed, where one of his workers is hosing down the floor. And he tells me that water drains down to his organic paddy fields, which provide not only rice, but also hay for the cows.
I feed hay, mainly hay, because I got the paddy fields. So the hay is here.
So basically you get the hay, the rice straw from the paddy field, and you feed that to the cow.
And cow dung as a fertilizer I'm using back to the fields. So I don't have to purchase fertilizers.
As well as the runoff from the cowshed, Goresha uses rainwater during the dry season for irrigation. Some of his fields lie below sea level, he says, and in monsoon season they flood and he can harvest fish. He says it's vital to maintain the level of fresh water in the paddy to feed the local aquifers and hold back the salt. Rising sea levels are also increasing salinity in fresh water at the coast and percolating into drinking water wells there. On top of that, increasing development, especially for tourism, has led to widespread destruction of one of the main protectors of Kerala's coastline, the mangrove swamps. That's a big worry for Ravi Panakal, whom I meet about 5 miles from Goresha's farm at an airy barn on muddy flats by the Arabian seashore. Here he teaches school kids about the importance of the mangroves.
There were so many mangrove forests in India, but during the course of time, people for their selfish interest, own interest, they have removed all the mangroves.
Panakal, a trim retired army colonel, heads the NGO Nature, Environment and Wildlife Society of India that gets the local schools involved in replanting the mangroves. A longer series of muddy trenches filled with brackish water, they've set out rows of baby mangrove plants, planning to grow them up until they can be planted along the shore for their many benefits.
Mangroves cleans the water. Besides, it is the habitat of lot of birds, even the migratory birds also. Besides, the biodiversity, there are special species of lot of plants, animals and such things.
As well as cleaning up the water, mangroves help prevent erosion, blunt the force of storms and provide a nursery for baby fish.
If we keep the mangroves in the belt of this area, the fishing, because actually these peoples were making livelihood from the fishes, that will improve. And besides, the coastal area will be protected and the water will be purified. So not salty water, clean water for drinkable water.
Protecting species and conserving clean water are a chief aim of the government's Green Kerala initiative. What Ravi Panakal wants is a nature reserve to do just that on this swampy parcel of coast.
This is 234 acres of land is there. What we want, actually we want to protect the area, protect the livelihood of the people and to save the mankind as well as the existing species. It's lying for the government, but the government is not interested in it.
Tourist condos and hotels and restaurants bring in cash to undeveloped areas like this, and that's what appeals to the government and local businesses, Panakal tells me. But still, he says, nature will have the final say.
If we can build a building here and get more money, I will get more money, but this area, it is going to be spoiled and the next generation that will be suffered. They don't want to think about the nature. If nature loses, we are going to die. The next generation cannot survive without water, without this nature. It is very, very important. We must keep it up.
Back at his banana farm in the highlands, Verghese Tharakan and his family are also keeping nature up by reforesting, which helps bring rain to these dry hills. Some of the plants stand in the shade of native teak trees that also grow here. Sandhya says they're planting even more, not to harvest, but for their children, Varsha and Varun, and to retain the water, protect the soil, and fight global warming.
Sandhya, tell me about the teak.
It was here when we bought this plot, actually, and we don't have any plans to cut it because it amounts to deforestation. And you can see it's a sloped kind of geography here, so it has to be here to hold the soil together to prevent soil erosion.
So you are planting more?
Yeah, definitely we plant more. And definitely it's a part of reforestation because we follow here rainwater harvesting. And rain can happen only if there is forest.
And is this because the government says you have to reforest or is it something you want to do?
No, it's from our kind of ideology we are doing this. We are taking so many things from the nature, so we should give something back to them. It's not always taking. Giving also is a part of life.
The children, 10-year-old Varsha and 6-year-old Varun, scramble up the steep ditches under the trees, and I scramble after. Varsha tells me she's already trying to give back to the family.
I wanted to grow many things, but I thought about starting off small by growing some bean plants. So I planted them maybe 3 or 4 months ago, and now they have grown a lot, and now they are giving off beans, and we are already plucking a few of them and using it for our curries and all.
So basically, you are growing beans that the family could eat?
Yeah.
Verghese, her father, smiles at her proudly. He says growing things is nothing less than the key to the future. He grabs my hand urgently and struggles with English as he tries to get his big idea across. The children everywhere should learn farming.
Peaceful world.
First standard, studying agriculture, one subject, mm-hmm. compulsory, all over world. After then, peaceful world.
Sandhya helps him out.
So what he ultimately aims is world peace through agriculture, through cultivation, through farming.
World peace through tending the land. It's a grand dream. But in their small plot of paradise, the Farrakhan family is doing its bit, growing bananas and vegetables, restoring the soil, bringing back the trees, and saving the rain. For Living on Earth, I'm Helen Palmer in Kerala, India.